Hey y'all, just a quick note before the episode starts. I went back and listened and edited the episode, and I realized that it sounds like I was trying to pressure my guest to admit that she feels guilty for not spending every waking moment with her children, and that is definitely not the case. Before we recorded, I sent her a list of questions and asked her to let me know some topics she might be comfortable talking about, and one of the things she put was mom guilt. So in my awkward baby newborn interviewer sort of way, I was trying to get her to talk about mom guilt, and it just came off as maybe some guy in the 50s interviewing a starlet on the red carpet. How do you find the time to do everything? So I want to apologize for that, and please know that whether you're a working mom, a stay-at-home mom, or something in between, I believe you deserve all the time in the world to do what you need to do for yourself. And if you can get past that awkward part, Chelsea really has so much great stuff to share with y'all. So I hope you enjoy the episode, and sorry.
Be kind to your mind and smart with your heart. If you want a good day, that's a great way to start. We all live on this planet, so let's all do our part. It's our mission as Earthlings to reach for the stars. If you're here, then you're ready. I know that you are. And we're all gonna do it with kind minds and smart hearts.
Welcome to the Kind Minds, Smart Hearts podcast, where we are building our very own mom village because nobody else is there to do it for us. I'm so excited to have Chelsea on the podcast tonight. She is the broken brain behind Oh No Chels, formerly known as Oh No Bravo, on Instagram. Is it Chels? Mm-hmm. Chels is the right pronunciation.
Chels is good. Yep.
Okay. She's the co-host of I'm the Cute One, a nostalgia podcast, and the mom of two daughters. She's also a licensed clinical social worker who works with children with behavioral challenges and mental health needs. I love Chelsea's brain. She is so clever and eloquent and diplomatic, and she can go on a months-long tangent about corn, and her extremely loyal reality TV following will be here for it. Her Photoshop work is something to be admired, and her night owlness is unmatched except for by me. Which is hashtag ADHD life. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you.
Yeah, and we did talk once before when I did another podcast. I actually can't even remember. It was for the Bravo podcast that I did. So we've talked before in another life, in another hemisphere. But I mean, we've both kind of changed directions with our careers and it's kind of our social media careers, if that's a thing. But tell us a little bit about your life. How are you balancing family, your job, your social media? You've got so much going on.
I'm not balancing it. I feel like I go through cycles where like I feel like I really have my shit together. Am I allowed to curse, by the way?
Of course, yes.
Okay. Please. Shit. where I go through periods where I feel like I really have my shit together and I'm like killing it. And then I go through periods where I'm like, I'm actually doing nothing right and I'm terrible at everything. I think you know, right now we were just talking offline. We're currently in quarantine again because my daughter's daycare is shut down. So I just think like the added pressure of the like never ending pandemic kind of exacerbates feelings. Yeah. But like you said earlier, ADHD gang, rise up. So I feel like when my hyper focused is like in gear, I have like superpowers and I'm like, I can do it all. And then sometimes I'm like, oh wait, no, I think I'm just kind of spiraling here.
Yeah. Oh, okay. This is what's going on.
Yeah. I've had to get really good about boundaries. Like I feel like boundaries was like the word of the year for 2021 for me, just like in my personal life with relationships in my life, but then also boundaries with myself. I really worked on where I had to like really start to be intentional about the things that I was doing. And so, and prioritizing my time and my quality time with my girls, which that's always been my number one. But I think really just being intentional about the fact like, okay, when I come home from work, I have like X amount of hours that I get to spend with them and making sure it's like really hands-on and I'm not doing anything else. And then that's when some of the other things that do like bring me joy. I think my account is a really big part of my self-care. It's a really big creative outlet. I'm sure you feel that way about your account and this podcast. Like it's nice to have something that's just for me. And that's why I'll be up like at God knows what time posting chaotic as hell stories, but it's because that's like the time that I have allotted for myself to like unwind and do something fun that's like just for me.
Yeah, my husband sometimes gets jealous and I have to remind myself that it's important for me to give him quality time too. Yes. But it's not just like, it is a little bit like I like the approval and I like the feedback that I get, but it is just an outlet. It's got so many elements that are lovely, but the mom guilt definitely creeps in and I can feel yes. it like, and my son will let me know when I forget to put down my phone, he'll start like, he's been doing this thing he calls the electric eel, and he'll come up to me and just zap me with his finger. He's like, electric eel. And I'm like, oh, you need attention. And I put my phone down. I'm like, all right, yeah. It's time to focus on you. Is that when like the most of your mom guilt creeps in, or how does mom guilt affect you?
Mom guilt affects me just like all the time. But I think the big thing that we're going through right now is my oldest daughter is going to be starting kindergarten next year. And we've been having some challenges with her and potential ADHD. We're in the process of getting her screened and maybe like getting an IEP for her for kindergarten. And there are like times that I really start to spiral about that, even though, and it's like one of those things, I always have to kind of like talk myself off the ledge by like talking to myself the way I would like my best friend. If my best friend was going through this, what would I say to her? Because it certainly wouldn't be as mean as the things I'm saying to myself.
Right.
But I have to like really like kind of step out of that and be like, okay, Chelsea, it's great. You've caught this early. You are getting her help. She is going into kindergarten with resources. Like, you're not a bad mom. You're actually a good mom. Because that's what I would tell my best friend. But meanwhile, to myself, I'm like beating myself up.
Right. Well, and okay, so we both, how old were you when you were diagnosed with ADHD?
I was an adult. I was in grad school, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I just was diagnosed last year. So, okay. I mean, just for me, having known when I was six in kindergarten would have been such a blessing. You know what I mean? It would have meant so much more help, and it would have made me feel so much better about myself. All the things that like, that all the little things we do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny. And I have like a love-hate relationship with like mental health TikTok. I think that there is a lot of value to be gained and a lot of information out there, but I'm wary sometimes of the sources, and I want to know credentials of the people that are like educating millions of people on really, really important things. But that being said, like, you know, I follow a couple of like ADHD Instagram accounts now, and it's so funny, like anytime they post like, if you have ADHD, you might do this. And I like turn to my husband and I'm like, another thing that doesn't make me special. I thought this was like a special thing about me. And it turns out everybody does this that has ADHD.
Yeah. I'm not quirky. I just have ADHD. Yeah. And there's so many things. Exactly. And like, so I have a following on TikTok, and that is where I talk about things. And I talk about ADHD sparingly, like, because people want to know my experience, but I definitely make sure to always say, I'm not an expert on this. I just got diagnosed. I didn't even see the signs for 39 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you found out about yourself that you're like, oh, that's ADHD? What are some of the things you missed?
It's funny because in my like quote unquote real life, I am a therapist. So I work in mental health. So like I should on paper have known these things. And there were warning signs, like my teachers basically were doing like accommodations for me without it being official growing up. So like several times throughout my childhood, they would pull my parents in and like be like, hey, we're seeing X, Y, and Z. Chelsea can't sit still. She has to stand at her desk. At recess, we have her run laps before she comes in, those type of things.
Yeah.
And then it was in grad school that a professor was like, hey, I really think, you know, you might want to look into this. And in my mind, it was like I had always been a pretty good student, especially if I was interested in something, I could like, you know, knock out a paper last minute and like crush it.
Yeah.
So I never really saw those warning signs. And then to learn that like for women, it presents completely differently. So they are screening based on that like hyper 7-year-old boy who is like punching and kicking and can't sit still and is basically like a behavioral problem for the teacher in the class, not realizing that for girls it presents as perfectionism,
anxiety.
Anxiety.
Get busy in your brain rather than
trying
the body.
To like be a people pleaser, trying to make everybody happy, masking, which is like, you know, learning how to fit in and kind of blend in with everybody. Because as women in general, we have to like fit into society and we have to look a certain way, be a certain way. So, yeah, the most recent one though, getting back to your original question, you see how it all connects. The most recent one that I saw was I followed this one ADHD, like how to make your home an optimal place for
domestic
you.
Domestic blisters?
No, but we'll have to exchange afterwards. Okay. I don't remember what her name is, but she talked about a floor desk and how like sitting on the floor is like feels good to people with ADHD sometimes. And I literally like, if I have a choice between the couch or like sitting next to my coffee table on the floor, I will choose the floor every single time. And I looked at my husband, I'm like, look, there's a reason.
Yeah.
See, it's sensory.
And I used to be the same way until my hips got so bad, I think, because I was a teacher for so long that I spent most of my life crisscross applesauce on the floor. Yeah. So yeah, my hips got so bad, I can't do it anymore, but I was the same way. And if you'll see me, I mean, I'm squirming the whole time talking. Move my microphone, but I'll bunch my knees up, or I've got to be like almost in a crisscross position, even if I'm in a chair.
Yep.
Me too. Another one that I found just very interesting was that a lot of people with ADHD pee more often than others. And it's like an actual urinary issue. I thought it was just me using it as an excuse because I needed to get up and move, and you can't get up and move as much, like you said, as a girl, like that's not as acceptable. But I would be like, when I was in elementary school, every hour I have to go to the bathroom. But that's just something I think I had lunch with some teachers the other day, and they were talking about, oh my gosh, this kid wants to go to the bathroom 25 times a day. And I said, you can hold it, mister. Otherwise you go to the principal. And I was thinking, and I should have said something, and maybe I will now, but maybe that's not just because they want to get out of your classroom, or maybe it is, I don't know, but just all these little things that you don't think about. And then you start looking into it, and it's so many little things, but
yeah.
Do you mind sharing if you are medicated for it? You obviously don't have to, but
yes, I am. And I do a fun little thing about every 6 months where I decide, oh no, I'm doing so well, I don't need to be on my medicine. And then like the 2 week mark hits and I'm like, oh, so I was doing well because I was medicated. Cool. And I can see a difference. Like I've been off. And I think just with the pandemic, that was kind of my like, the pandemic hit and I had my youngest was, so I have two daughters, a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old, and the pandemic hit like 3 months before my youngest's first birthday. And that was like, two kids is just so much more than one, which I wasn't prepared for. And then also the pandemic and just being home with them and not being able to really leave. And that was my breaking point of like, that was my breaking point of like, I think I need that extra help right now.
Yeah, for sure. Wow. I'm just now imagining that. Are you working outside of the home now, or are you still working from home?
No, I'm both my husband and I go in.
Oh, that's nice. So you will. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice to have a little break.
It is. And then it's also, you know, just because of everything, it's a little bit scary, but it's nice to be able to leave and then come back.
Yeah. Yeah. We're starting Max in pre-K in September, because he's just been like on my butt for almost 4 years now. So he cannot be around other adults except for dad for a little while, and that's it. So, you know, I understand the scaredness. I have a lot of anxiety about it, but I think it's going to be good for
It's going to be great. Yeah. And the good thing too is like, their social norms of that age group, like the kids that are under 5 right now, their social norms and their childhood experiences are so different from ours. But for them and their whole generation, like it will be normal. So even though they're going to be like a bunch of little weirdos, they're not going to be weirdos to each other, because they all have been like pandemic babies, you know?
That's exactly true. Yes. That's a really good point. It's like, I can tune a guitar. It might not be in tune with the rest of the world, but it's all the strings are in tune with each other. I can play this one guitar. Okay. Got it. All right. I like it. So yeah, it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine, guys. we went through our own trauma, and we're not fine, but we're getting there. We're getting better, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. So you are, let me make sure I get your title correct. You're a licensed clinical social worker. So you, I'm sure, see a lot of ADHD, and something else that we were going to talk about at one of our plans. We said we would talk about consent, and that's something that I try to address, and I don't know if I do a very good job addressing it on TikTok, because I also have some training, a certified school counselor, I have my master's degree, but we didn't really talk very much about consent, and I'm sure that's a really big topic for you these days. So spill the beans.
Yeah, so I think that it's something that is definitely, I think, new to parenting. I think our generation of parents and parenting, like, it's something that's been taking a priority. And I think it's because for a lot of us, it was not something that was even on our parents' radar. Mm-hmm. My parents did a lot of things really great, but that was one thing that I have always had a space bubble. I'm not a hugger. I like really like to protect my personal space. And I have a huge family. My great grandmother had 13 kids. So like our family get togethers were like literally hundreds of people. And I would be expected to have to like hug every single aunt and uncle. And some of them, like, I didn't know well. And it always, I mean, speaking of anxiety, that was something that did give me a lot of anxiety and felt very uncomfortable to me. And obviously this is like the least traumatic version of feeling like your personal space is being encroached on. But I think one thing that we're teaching both in my professional setting and then me as a parent with my girls is that even from the youngest age, kids should have the ability to have body autonomy of their own body. So they should be mm-hmm. able to tell you what they feel comfortable with. And obviously, you know, if it gets into safety, like, you can't be like, oh, well, my 2-year-old wants to jump off the top of the playground and it's her body, so go for it, sweetie, I believe in you. But like, if it comes down to a grandparent wanting a kiss and a 2-year-old saying no, I think it's really important for the parent then to say, she said no, would you like to give a fist pump? Would you like to wave bye? And I think that's really hard for a lot of older generations. I know in my family, it's something that is an ongoing discussion, especially with great-grandparents, grandparents. My parents have gotten it, I think. At first, I think they were kind of like, but she's 2. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just, especially raising girls, I really want mm-hmm. it to be ingrained in them that they are allowed to say no and that other people will respect that no.
Yeah. Well, and something that I talk about all the time is there's not a line, there's not an mm-hmm. age where you can like be like, well, it matters when they're 7, you know, it didn't matter when they
right.
were 2.
Right.
So like, if you wait until they're 7 to start doing that, then they don't understand it as well. But if it's just like a natural thing that you start when they're 2, when they're a baby, I mean, not that they're able to express it as much as a baby, but as soon as they are able to express it, then they'll understand. Like you said, it would be ingrained in their brains. And then, I saw something really great and I was thinking about it and I can't remember. Oh, there's this wonderful video that I saw about like, teaching your kids the actual names of all their body parts.
Yes.
So that it's not like a silly thing and you don't have to make everything silly. And then when you want to have a discussion about it, like, do you want them to touch your elbow? Is that okay? Your elbow is just as funny as your vulva. You know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't mm-hmm. be this ridiculous conversation, because then kids are comfortable telling you what's going on and comfortable saying, no, I don't want you to touch this. And it's very clear to the other person what they mean by that, I guess.
Yeah. And I also, in my line of work, I do see some pretty heavy things. So just trigger warning, you know, sexual abuse. So if this is triggering to you, just skip like 30 seconds ahead. But it's also important because if, God forbid, the worst thing happens, your child is able to tell you what happened.
Exactly what happened.
And you're not having to try to teach in that moment what happened. And they are able to process because they've already learned the parts. They're not learning the parts and processing.
Right.
One really amazing book that I have both at my office and at home, it's called Let's Talk About Body Boundaries, Consent, and Respect. And it's mm-hmm. by, sorry, I just pulled it up. It is by It's by Janine Sanders, and it's illustrated by Sarah Jennings. I really like it. It's kind of like a catch-all. It talks about a lot of different topics. And one part that I really, really like talks about even if yesterday a hug was okay, even if earlier today a hug was okay, if you feel like in that moment you want to say no, that's allowed. And then I also like it because it teaches the other side of it too for other children. So I have this like kind of awkward situation with one of my daughter's friends, who her mom is actually my best friend, so we'll have play dates together. Yeah. And my best friend's daughter is a hugger, and she really wants at the end of every play date to give my daughter a hug. And it's like it always is this awkward thing. We know it's coming. It's kind of been like built up because mm-hmm. it causes a meltdown either way. Like my daughter is very adamant. She does not want to give a hug. And my best friend's daughter gets really upset and her feelings are really hurt because my daughter doesn't want to give her a hug. So I like this book because it teaches both sides of it. And it also speaks to the kid that does want a hug of like, but here's why, and it doesn't have to do with you. And here are some other things you could offer in the moment if you want to give that person a hug or you want to be close to them and they're not accepting that right now.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to put that title. I don't remember it right now off the top of my head, but I'm going to put it in the show notes and I'll put it in the post on Instagram whenever I post about this episode. So look for that. And I'm going to go buy it too when I.
Yeah, it's really good. And the illustrations are very cute, very inclusive. It's great.
And one more thing I wanted to add about that whole topic and about grownups being upset. My dad just stayed with us for 6 weeks and he visited from Malaysia. We hadn't seen him for 2.5 years, you know, COVID. Then they lifted restrictions and he came. And like you said, Max didn't really know him because when the last time my dad came, he was one, he couldn't remember that. And my dad, thankfully, was really understanding about, I mean, I felt a lot of pressure. It was a lot on me to manage all the emotions of everybody in the house, which it shouldn't be, but it is. And so that was stressful. But I think Max felt comfortable. Like he could say, no, I don't want a hug. And my dad, although his feelings were hurt, did not pressure him for hugs or whatever. But my point of all this is that in that situation, the adult should have more coping strategies than the child. So whether or not the adult's feelings are hurt does not really matter as much as whether or not the child feels that they have bodily autonomy, because in the long run, that matters more. So, and if they don't have those coping skills, that is a real bummer. And maybe they should go to therapy or you can help them with that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I was going to say should is the operative word of that they should have more coping strategies. Yeah. But also I would say, like, if you're somebody listening to this, that this is a new concept, because I think it is for a lot of people.
Yeah.
As adults, or if you're dealing with, you know, family members who do put that pressure on you or that guilt of like, oh my God, they don't know me, it's been the pandemic, and they make you feel guilty for it. I think a good starting point is that that child is going to build trust with that adult who respects the boundaries that they're setting for themselves a lot quicker than an adult that's constantly stomping on those boundaries, because children are smart and they can read a room and they have that innate ability to know what grownups are trustworthy, and they will bond with somebody who isn't pushing for that hug or isn't trying to, you know, you made grandma sad when you said no to me type of situation. So that might be a good like entry point of like, you know, little Susie does really well when adults listen to her, and more likely than not, in a couple of days, she'll probably snuggle up to you and ask you to read her a book at bedtime. So just give it time.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good point. That's such a great way to start. See, this is why it's not just me talking on this podcast. There's so many people that have so many great, great, great ideas.
But I do have to give you your flowers too, because I love your account and you like have such a great way of just breaking down these ideas that like, once I watch your videos, I'm like, oh, duh. But like in the moment, I'm like spiraling. I'm like, I don't know how to like the be careful one you posted recently. Oh. Like it was like a light bulb moment for me, because that is like my be careful. Oh, be careful. And I was like, okay, I need to like take that out of my mouth.
Thank you. You know what? You just reminded me, I plan to make another video about why it's not great to say be careful. Although you know, it's not like you're a bad parent if you say be careful, right. Obviously. It's just that like it's not the most helpful thing that you could possibly say in that moment. There are other things that would be more helpful. So thank you for reminding me of that. And I appreciate it. Thanks for saying it. My goal is, and Jackie Shoemaker Holmes, who her account is Eating Her Young, said about me the other day, she's like, she gives parenting advice in a way that doesn't make you want to throat punch her. I was like, oh, good.
That is like, when you sell your first book, that needs to be like, the byline of like right, exactly. Parenting advice that is not throat punch worthy. Yeah. Cause yeah, well, I won't get shady. I'll just keep it positive. Yours is great. Can I go off script just really quick?
Sure.
Cause the be careful thing made me think one thing that we have been changing recently. That's just a small like language shift like that mm-hmm. is when your child says, I'm sorry, to not say it's okay, but to mm-hmm. say, I accept your apology because the behavior wasn't okay. So we don't want to give them mixed messages, but saying, thank you for your apology, I accept it is a way good. Of like receiving it without saying that their behavior was okay.
Oh, I like that a lot.
That and it works helpful. With adults too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then they realize that it wasn't okay.
Right.
It's a similar one that I heard was when someone says, thank you, instead of saying no problem, say you're welcome because it was something you did. It wasn't no problem. You did something for them. So saying you're welcome, but that's very hard to do.
I need to get better about that too. Cause I'm somebody, I will like say yes to a bunch of stuff. And it's like, I will bend over backwards and like kill myself. And then like, no worries, no problem. No worries. It was no sweat.
I could do that 10 more times.
I'm just
today.
About to have a nervous breakdown, but it's all good.
Same, very much the same. Okay. So you've given me some great language shifts to talk about. Do you have any mom hacks? I like to kind of wrap things up with a mom hack or a tip or just like a lingering piece of advice you'd like to leave.
Well, I think the thing I talked about earlier that if you're spiraling, take yourself out of it and like literally talk to yourself. Sometimes I'll do it out loud, like mm-hmm. a crazy person, but talk to yourself like you would your best friend because we are the meanest to ourselves. Like we would never treat anybody else on the planet the way we treat ourselves. This is just a random one, but for a baby shower gift, my go-to is Zutano booties for newborns. They're like these little, they're expensive. They're, I mean, not in the scheme of things, but for like $20, they're like a little tiny sock, but it has snaps on it and they never fall off because baby socks fucking always suck. So that is like my go-to thing for new moms. I'm like Zutano baby socks. You only have to get like one or two. And I mean, baby's feet don't sweat. So like they can wear them every day.
And then, how do you spell it?
I think it's Zutano. I can send you the link after we, after we record. Cause yeah, it's like literally my go-to. And then my last one is we just discovered this. It's a YouTube channel called Kids Art Hub or Art Hub for Kids. My 4-year-old really likes to draw and it's a guy and his kids and they do step-by-step drawings, but it's really cool because it shows his artwork and then also his kids. So you can see like, you know, his is like art level and then he'll like help his kids, but it's really about like, if you make a mistake, it's okay. It'll all look different and they go slow enough that you can really like follow along. And that, I don't know, it like, it might just be the mental gymnastics in my head that I'm like, it's not really screen time because it's an art class. So like on a rainy day, I'll throw that on and I'm like, no, it's still a parenting win. It's fine.
I do not judge anybody for screen time and Max is huge into art. So if nobody else takes that tip from you, I'm going to take it. We're going to do it tomorrow during the day. I don't care if it's sunny or rainy.
And some of their stuff is really like, some of their stuff's very cool. I get into it too. They have like pop-up ones. It's really cool.
Well, on that note, just for you, if your kids like art, which it sounds like they do, there are two great things that Max likes, which are Creative Galaxy on Amazon Prime Video. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
No.
They stopped making it. There are, I think, 3 seasons, but each one is great. It's a little cartoon, but then they always have like a little part where kids are doing an art project and they're doing it all by themselves. And so you get to see the kid version of it. And then we just discovered one on YouTube. It's called Kookie's Craft Show, K-O-O-K-I, and she's dressed like a fox, and she's really cute, and she has this little marble run thing that happens, and it is It's adorable. And there's crafts. Okay. So, and they're short. They're like 5 minutes. But anyway, okay. For crafty thing, crafty kids.
Those are, I will definitely take both of those. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing those tips. I'm sure that everybody will get something from at least one of those. Before we end, tell us where we can find you on social. What are all the wonderful things you're working on?
Yeah, so you can follow me at onochels on Instagram. That's C-H-E-L-S. It's chaotic. If you're new to me, I always say, like, mute my stories at first and like a bad pop song. Like, I'll weasel my way into your heart and your mind, but it's a lot. Like, I will acknowledge. So just mute my stories. Don't unfollow me. And then, you know, you'll get down with the vibe. And then you can listen to my podcast. I'm the Cute One, a nostalgia podcast by The Dip. We have new episodes out every Sunday, and it's just me and my friend Donnie recapping a lot of old movies from the 90s and 2000s. And it's just lighthearted chaos.
Yeah. Y'all, I promise you will love it. There's something that you will connect to on her page or her podcast. You'll find something that will endear you to her. It's and her to you. And it's, you'll love it. I promise. Just go follow. And thank you guys so much for listening. Don't forget to be kind to your mind, smart with your hearts. And if you have questions for me, you can slide into my DMs at kindminds_smarthearts or email me at jackie@kindmindsmarthearts.com. Yes, that's right. All right. Talk to y'all later.
Bye.
Bye.
The material presented on Kind Minds, Smart Hearts podcast and the bonus episodes are not an attempt to practice medicine or give specific medical or mental health advice. The podcast was created to be entertaining and informative and contains examples from the host's lives and experiences, but does not attempt to cover every mental health issue. It should not replace consultation with your doctor or other qualified mental health specialists. If you believe you or another individual is suffering a mental health crisis or other medical emergency, contact your doctor immediately, seek medical attention immediately in an emergency room, or call 911.